2 Kings chapter number 7. I'm going to make a slight correction in the number of verses that I'll read. I will not read through verse 20, but I'm going to read through verse 10. And my apologies for making that correction too late. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 through 10. You have that passage, would you say amen? Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, 'Let us enter the city,' the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we'll live. And if they kill us, we'll just die." So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army. So that they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us." So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and ate and drank. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid. Then they came back and entered another temple and carried off things from it and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. We are silent and wait until the morning light. Punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no one to be seen or heard there, nothing but the horses tied and the donkeys tied and the tents as they were." This is the word of the Lord. The paralysis of fear and the victory of faith. Terrible devastation has come upon Syria. Samaria. For the armies of Syria, a neighboring country, has come against Samaria and has completely turned that city into a pile of ruins. There is devastation everywhere, including the destruction of homes, the destruction of residences and public places without discrimination. The usual effects of war can be assumed to have been imposed upon the Samaritan people, which means there would be great hunger and homelessness. Both injuries and certain death of people of all ages and all social economic levels. In the stillness of the war's aftermath and the silence of the pounding sound of horses' hooves, and the churning of chariot wheels and the command of soldiers being called out, one could no doubt hear the whimper of a little child, a mere baby perhaps, outside of the tender arms of his or her mother. She's crying because of the chaos and the confusion of that day. her mother covered in dust and her face draped with a look of distress and confusion. She looks helpless at what once existed is now gone. Men and husbands groaned in disbelief at how fast life can change, and the horror of what they have just experienced. Now grieve as their wives and daughters and sisters and nieces have been violated by savage men. And all this is done in the name of war. Our holy imagination tells us there is some, or is soon thereafter, hunger due to the scarcity of food. And we must also wonder if a common tactic has also been employed in this incursion. Have their wells, their drinking supplies, been poisoned as well? If so, there would not only be famine, there would be those dying of thirst soon. What would they drink? There was no Red Cross to show up with thousands of bottles of water. These are the type of days when people are so distressed and so in need, desperate, that it could be said that you could buy a loaf of bread for an ounce of gold. People would do anything for a mere ounce of bread. Certainly not on this level, but I may ask, have you ever felt devastated? Has your life ever taken a drastic turn for the worse? Have you been traumatized? That's not as uncommon as we think. Have you ever been destitute, wondering where you would live? Have you ever been violated? Here in our text, we have an entire city where the lives of everyone in it has been changed forever. What used to be no longer is. Hunger drove human beings to do the unthinkable and the unimaginable. Mothers and fathers boiling their children for food. Cannibalism. Anything dead or alive that might resemble food or thought to have some nutritional value was eaten, no matter how despicable, because everyone was desperate. How could things possibly be any worse? How could human existence be any more pitiful, more frail? It is indeed human behavior at its darkest depravity. Then in our text, verse number 3. Now there were four men who were lepers to the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, "Why are you sitting here until we, or why are we sitting here until we die?" It's one thing to experience devastation, heartbreak, but then what are you going to do about it? Why are we sitting here until we die? Nothing's going to change as long as we just sit here. The scripture tells us there were four men. They were men, and all four of these men were sick. They were lepers. They were sitting on the outskirts of the city, which is a requirement, or was a requirement in those days of lepers, to isolate themselves. They were discussing their dire circumstances. What are we going to do? We have no idea how they escaped with their lives, how they escaped being captured by the enemy. We have no idea, but there were some survivors, and here are four of them whose lives were spared. With what knowledge we have, all we can positively say is that God spared them. We don't know why some people die viciously and others are spared. Why a tornado hit this property and there were casualties and the next house was not touched. We don't know the answer to that. All we know at best is that God in his sovereignty allowed it. Why them and not other people? Why is your neighbor's house burned? Yours was spared. Why was our car stolen and not the neighbor's? Only God holds life and death in his sovereign hand. And we, at this moment in time, don't have the answers to those things. But they wanted to know, what are we going to do? I hope this sermon resonates with everyone who is finding themselves in a position of decision. What are we going to do? These men are asking themselves a question that we all have or will ask ourselves at some point in our lives. What am I going to do? Each of them have just experienced a life-changing moment. Their lives will never be the same. And they were discussing their limited options and realized they must do something. They had to make a decision. Some of us are better at decision-making than others. Well, here are their options, and they lay them out for us. They were thinking out loud and they said, well, let us enter the city. That's the city of Samaria that was just been devastated. There's nothing there, but we could go there. That's an option. It's a devastated city. They would die there, they said, because the famine was there. There's no food. We wouldn't last very long. And then they said, the second option is if we sit here, we're also going to die. If they stayed in the devastated city of Samaria, they would die because the city had just been devastated by war and there was very little or no resources for living. And surely if they sat where they were, they would die because who would help them? They would sit there and continue to hear the moaning and the groanings of those who've been critically injured and eventually breathe their last breath. Or seeing someone so traumatized, they're running down the street, possibly naked and covered with dust and dirt and screaming because of the trauma they've just experienced. We can't stay here. The last possible option they discussed was this. We're going to go to the camp of the Syrians. I'm sure the person that brought this up, their two friends or three other friends, looked at them like, you crazy? The people who just did this in Samaria? We're going to go to Syria, their camp, their army base. I don't know if that's a good deal. I don't know if that's a good idea. But then they thought about it. They said, why don't we go to Syria and throw ourselves on the mercy of the Syrians? And while they're throwing themselves on the mercy of the Syrians, they're throwing them their lives upon the mercy of God or Yahweh at the same time. In other words, they said, we're going to take a walk in faith. The first two options aren't good options. We will die. But the third option, there is a chance that we could live. So now come the second clause in verse 4. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we'll live. And if they kill us, we're prepared to die. The four men picked up no more than the clothes on their backs. And they left the devastated capital city saying, if they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we'll just die. In other words, what have we to lose? What have we to lose? At least this way we have a chance to live. While the other options are certain death. These four leprous men left their home in Samaria and began walking through no man's land, so to speak, on their way to the camp of the Syrians. It is as if fear gave into faith and strength came out of their weakness and courage emerged from fear. It must have been a painful journey, though, because these four men were not in good health. And we don't know what their ages were, how strong they were, how much devastation leprosy had done to their bodies. But they had determined they were going to walk anyway. If God is leading you, don't be afraid. If God is leading you, don't be afraid. I don't know what decisions you may be facing. I know mine. But let me encourage you by saying God will be with you. The leading of the Holy Spirit often works with our common sense. This decision they made was the only real chance they had if they wanted to live. The men clearly wanted life over death. Often our decisions are made not knowing how things will work out, but trusting God that somehow, by the grace of God, they will work out by faith. Faith does not say, I know it. Faith does not see, I can see the end. I can see it. Faith doesn't even say, I understand it. But faith says, I believe God. If I'm in pain, I'll walk on. If I'm hungry, I'll trust God. If I'm thirsty, I'll keep walking. If my money, possessions, career, and even my family is gone, I'll walk anyway. Fear wants me to stay right here where I am and die. Fear wants to keep me a prisoner. It wants me to stay stuck where I am and be held in its bondage. But by faith, I won't give in to fear. And let it have its way in my life. I am going to keep on walking. African American spiritual says, I am going to trust in the Lord. I am going to trust in the Lord. I am going to trust in the Lord until I die. There's no reason to doubt God now. God has spared their lives. And for you and me, it's no reason for us to doubt God either. God has won too many battles for us. God has walked with us through too many valleys to doubt Him. God has saved us from drowning in too many storms. So I'm going to trust in the Lord. The Lord has healed me too many times to doubt His healing power. Walk, children, walk. Men, walk, women. Walk, seniors, walk, youth. Walk, though your spiritual feet are tired and your body weary and worn by the trials of life. Keep walking on that road of faith. So they started towards Syria, the camp of Syria at dark. Do you notice something here? Two things. So they started. Getting started is the hardest part of our decision-making process. Actually doing something. And then the second thing we notice here, that when they left where they were, it was turning dark. It was that time of day. Our journeys to victory often take us through darkness. Am I right, Grace? Our journeys of victory often take us through dark places and dark times. My question to you is, are you walking by faith towards your deliverance? The four men would walk through the night. The darkest time of the day. Often things do get dark. So dark you can't hardly find your way. Have you ever been in a circumstance like that when you can't make heads from tails? When it was so dark you wondered if you would ever see the daylight? Well, they walked. May I encourage you in your challenging and dark moments to continue to walk by faith. Walk. Verse 5, the second clause says, when they reached the edge of the Syrian camp, are you committed to your journey? Are you committed to walking until you get where God wants you to get? Don't let fear cripple you or cheat you out of your future. When they reached the edge of the Syrian camp, fear also can allow you to get to the brink of victory and tell you, you better turn back. But these men got to the brink, the edge of the Syrian camp. They wouldn't give in to fear. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know if they would be killed, if they would be made prisoners of war, if they would be turned into slaves, servants. They didn't know if their days and nights would be turned into beatings and whippings. But they wouldn't give in to faith, into fear. But when they got to the edge of the Syrian camp, they paused. And they began looking around. And they realized something. There's nobody here. Do you see what faith would have cheated you out of? Fear, I should say. Cheated you out of, and what faith would have given you? When they got to the edge of the camp, they looked around and no one was there. When the
the weary men allowed their tired feet to touch the Syrian camp, not knowing what to expect, they were stunned by the silence. They didn't hear a thing. They were stunned by the peace. No movement at all. And the still of the camp. As they inspected their surroundings and began milling around a little, they gained more courage the further they moved into the camp, and they realized for certain no one was there. They saw horses and donkeys tied up, but no soldiers to ride them. What's more than that, they smelled food cooking, but they saw no cook. And no one was sitting at the table to eat. They found gold and silver laying on the table, and there was no banker to bank the money. It was as if everything had been left for them. Oh, my friends, let me tell you, the Lord will set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. They must have asked themselves at this point, if any of them had a little lapse in faith, is this a setup? Are the Syrians hiding and they're going to come out and kill us now that we're in the camp? Where is everybody? It's clear that a lot of people were there, but they weren't there anymore. Why would they leave all of their animals, their food, even while it was cooking, all of their possessions, including money? What in the world happened? I can't imagine what happened. Everything we need is in this Syrian camp. Oh, let me tell you, God's got what you need. What these men did not know was at the very hour they were making their decision to travel that dusty road by faith, God was working behind the scenes on their behalf. Don't tell me what God can't do. Don't tell me that God's not interested in your plight in life. If God was interested in these four Samaritan men, not even Israelites, people of the promise, God is interested in you also and your well-being. God stirred up trouble in the Syrian camp. At one point, there were Syrian army soldiers all over the camp. Tents lifted where they would sleep and food cooking. Horses and donkeys to carry their rations. But God stirred up trouble in the Syrian camp. Rather than you plotting or me plotting what we will do about our enemies, let God handle it. Let God handle it. God caused, yes, I said God caused. Everyone in that camp had a miracle of hearing. God caused everyone in that camp to hear a sound at the same time. Oh yes, God can work a miracle simply by sound. The Syrian army heard something that did not exist in reality. God put in their imagination the thundering sound of an approaching army. But there was no army approaching. But the Syrians didn't know that. The Syrians also imagined they heard the crunching sound of chariot wheels and the thunderous pounding of horses' hooves. But there was no chariot and there were no horses. In hearing the sounds of war being made in their imagination, rumors then spread throughout the camp at a furious pace. And then panic set in. And the soldiers were so panicked, they ran over each other, attempting to get out of that camp before they were attacked, even though there were no attackers. The entire Syrian army ran out the back door as these four sick, helpless, leprous men walked in the front door. God caused, all because God caused the Syrians to hear a thundering sound. God caused an entire army to see things that weren't visible. And to hear things that did not exist in reality. They found food and they ate until they were full. They found money. They stuffed their pockets. They hid it and they came back and got more and hid that. All the things that they needed, horses and donkeys to carry everything that they had just found. God had made provision even for that. So you may ask to walk away with a full stomach instead of an empty stomach. To go away riding a horse instead of walking. To have money stuffed in your pockets instead of being broke. And I'm sure they even found some clothes in exchange for the rags they were wearing. You may ask, isn't that stealing? Oh, let me tell you, no. That is God's way of giving back to the Samaritans what the Syrians had stolen from them in the first place. Remember, it was the Syrians who came and raided the camp of Samaria. So all they were doing was taking back what the enemy had taken from them. And God did it. Let me say to you, Christian, God wants to give you back what the enemy has stolen from you.
Amen.
Namely, a healthy relationship with our God. God wants to restore your peace in place of chaos. Don't stay where you are. Come get your peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." John 14:27. Jesus is our peace. Don't stay where you are and die. Tired and worn, come get your rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. Jesus is our rest. Don't stay in your prison of fear. Come and get your faith through believing. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." John 14:27. And in Matthew 14:27, Jesus said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Doesn't this all parallel the conversion experience, where God invites us to leave our plundered, captive lives, where we live beneath our spiritual privilege and exchange it for a better life? And the plentiful food and transportation and money reminds us of what Jesus said: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Now, what in the world are these four men going to do with enough food to feed a whole army? Isn't that just like Jesus? Jesus gives us abundantly. What circumstances began with such vicious violence in Samaria ends with Jehovah getting involved. What circumstance began in Samaria with such vicious violence against the Samaritans ends with Yahweh getting involved. Instead of thirst, there was an abundance of drink. And in place of hunger, there's food in abundance prepared for them. Prepared for the hungry, and they are fed from the very hand of God. Come unto me, all you who are burdened. I will give you rest. Food enough for an army, but there's only four of them. They'll eat plenty. This should resonate in our hearts that our God is a God who abundantly provides. Our God satisfies. Are you still sitting in Samaria? If so, start walking. Walk the road of faith as God leads you. And trust God that when you get to where He's leading you, God will have provided all that you need and more. If you're listening to and following God's direction, God will take care of the details of your life. Are you ready for your journey of faith? Are you ready to throw yourselves like these four men on the mercy of God and trust God with your life? Are you tired of worrying, trying to figure things out on your own? Throw yourself on the mercy of God. Lord, here is my life. Take it. Use it for your glory and not mine. Amen. The Lord is kind and gracious and welcomes us to confess our faults, failures, sins before Him, and He will truly pardon us. Let's take a moment now to acknowledge our sin. Isaiah 53:5 reminds us of God's provision of forgiveness. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and upon Him the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His stripes, we are indeed healed. May all of God's forgiven and spiritually healed people say, amen. Amen. Stand with me now. Let us sing our closing song.